Everyone this morning, and we do give you all a warm welcome in our service in the name of the Lord, and we just pray the Lord will bless each one this morning. Praise God. There was a big day yesterday with the Queens. I knew I would say that. I was sitting thinking about it, and I knew I would say it. The King's coronation was a big day yesterday, and I didn't watch it myself, but I know a lot of people would have been watching it, and the services today for it. I don't know all about it. I'm not even going to try and explain it all. The only thing I do know is we do need to pray for the Lord to save King Charles, that's for sure. And there's one thing I will say, I do not agree with faiths. There's one faith.
Amen.
And I seen a clip of some old boy he was on talking about Charles was a great defender of the faiths. Well, there is no such thing as faith. There's one faith.
Amen.
One faith. And that was great, and they set the crown on him, and that's all great, and a lot of people's into all that sort of stuff. I don't know all about it. But I was thinking of the contrast of the putting the crowns on Jesus. It was a crown of thorns.
Yes.
I was thinking of that crown. And I tell you, there was no diamonds on it. Nothing glittering on it. And it didn't weigh its head down with the weight of the crown. But it weighed its head down with the sins of the world. For that crown represented the curse. Because thorns came because of the crown was cursed. In Genesis, thorns and thistles to bring forth. And they buckled it into his head with a reed. And the blood came pouring down his brow. I was thinking of that crown. And I was thinking how he died for the whole world.
Amen.
And then some old boy's going to talk about faiths. When we have the faith. And we need to defend the faith. That's the real gospel. That is the real gospel. And it's sad to say people don't want the real gospel. You have so many signs of it this morning. You have those that will tickle your ears and all denominations. And they won't preach the real gospel. Then you have the side that say we are a revelated people. A revelated people. That's what they say. We can't be deceived. And they really worship a man. But it's actually the wrong man. It's the wrong man. No matter how good any man is, you can only worship Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. But look, we need to pray for King Charles. And I mean that God will save him. I believe that God saved the king. And you don't know, I believe the wee queen was saved. How many believes that? I believe she was saved. And God can save King Charles as well. But I'm here to talk about the Lord this morning. And the Lord bless. And anybody that is having a service for all that today, I didn't feel to go into any of it. I don't understand it all. And I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. But God bless you, those that's here. Let us turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah 31. Verse 3, and I want to try and continue to talk about the love of God. I was trying to track down a Brother Laurie for tonight's service, but he lost his phone. So Brother Laurie's going to be preaching next week. And Wednesday night is going to ask him, and he wasn't here. But look, the Lord has everything in control, brother. Next Sunday morning, our brother's going to be preaching. So come along and pray also for Brother Frank Freeborn. We'll be here soon at the end of the month, and we're going to have special services. And I hope that some people more will attend. There's people getting slack coming to church. And I tell you, we need to put the Lord first. Amen. Put the Lord first. Now, I feel strongly on my heart, and I believe the Holy Spirit's been talking to me, that a lot of people feel condemned. And I want to bring you someone this morning that'll undo that. God doesn't want you condemned. And then I feel as well that some of us, we get up on a bit on our toes and we think we are something. We think we're better than our people. Now I'm telling you, I'm being serious about this, and I've seen it. A lot of people can look at others and condemn them and think, well, they're not doing this, they're not doing that. And boy, they'll give them the works. And you know, this morning I was thinking about that, thinking of this message I'm going to preach. And Sharon put on there was a message playing in the car. The uncertain sound. And it was starting out, Brother Branham was talking about a situation, and tongues come forward. Message in tongues, you hardly ever hear that on them tapes. But a message in tongues, then an interpretation. It was all about God's love. Then he told about that experience, for the blood was circling the earth. He was condemning people because they had the wrong hair color. And I seen there's a wee woman somewhere recently, and she was redding up because a couple of sisters had dyed their hair. They had a couple of grey hairs, and she was giving them a good redding up. My goodness, what would it matter If you dyed your hair, it'll make no difference to the Lord, in my opinion. How many believes that?
Amen.
I'll tell you a load of nonsense. And there's so much nonsense, stuff that doesn't even matter. And William Branham was doing it. Now, their hair was blue. What he was talking about. Now, I wouldn't advise you to dye your hair blue. I'm not bored dying mine, brother. Wouldn't work anyhow. But they were dying their hair blue. Now, I don't think anybody wants it. There's people want their hair blue. There's people want it purple in all colors. Believe it or not, I painted mine red once. For red lead paint. My man had to shave her heads off. But I'm just telling you, he was condemning them. And he saw that vision with the blood circle in the earth. And he saw the Lord himself. And he showed William Branham his own sins. Now you would say the man lived close to God, but he was born a sinner, no matter how close he lived. Never forget that. And he said, this was for you. So when we look at others, we have to remember, we're no better than them. And we need to sometimes show a bit of mercy, not judgment.
Amen.
I heard a man preaching, Rock talked about it, and I used to wonder where he got the idea from. Then I seen it one night. The fella preached on a tape. Have you ever seen that? I don't know if Sister Jenny ever seen that. But this fella had a tape measure. I mind Rock telling me about it. And he says, I want to measure everybody up with a tape. Rock used to tell me about it. And I wondered, where did he get this idea from, the tape? And then I seen this big boy preaching, a big Pentecostal man. And he wanted his tape, fit you, do you fit the tape?
Yes.
Will you fit in our wee group? And measure you up.
Yes.
I'll tell you, it's the Lord leave him to that. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Let's read this morning. God bless you. I hope I haven't said anything about you at all. But you saw, praise God. And the Lord good?
Amen.
Praise God. And remember, we're going to have communion. I'm not going to hold you as long. And if you have a need this morning, and I know there's people with needs, you believe when you take this bread and this wine, God will touch you. You're doing it in remembrance of him. Believe the Lord will touch you. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, I know the Lord's talking about Israel. You could go into a whole study of that. Maybe sometime we will. But this is for us as well. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you have a need, lift your hand up to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless each one this morning. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before you this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe the greatest battle that ever was fought was 2,000 years ago at a place called Calvary. Lord, you laid your life down a ransom for many. And unto them that look for you shall you appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Father, we bless your name this morning for the greatest love gift this world's ever seen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We thank you for the man called Jesus. We thank you for his person, for his precious blood, for the wounds he suffered and bled for our sins. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will move in this house. We ask that you render powerless every work of the enemy. And we ask for the power of the Holy Ghost to come on every person in this room. And all those that's near and dear to their hearts, save every one of them. I'm thinking of a wee girl this morning that don't need a name for you know her. Lord, I pray you'll touch her. God, for the young man, touch him. In the name of Jesus Christ, save every son and every daughter that's near and dear to us this morning, the aunt, the uncle, the husband, the wife, those that raised their hands, Lord, you know their needs. I pray you'll meet them, financial or physical. Lord, touch them, I pray, In the name of Jesus Christ, I do take the promised Holy Ghost to help me now. And I thank you that you do. I pray, Lord, for the sheep that's wandering this morning. Maybe a few have broken into stray ground or stray pastures. But Lord, they're still your sheep. I pray, Father, you'll touch them, and I pray you'll speak to them. For you've said in your word, your sheep will know your voice. So I pray that you will speak to your own sheep. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we know this is only a training ground for what's to come. For you're coming again to catch away your bride. Lord, help us with your word. I pray you'll strengthen your people. Bless them as we come round this communion service. Bless them as we remember you. And Lord, I do sincerely pray for King Charles. Lord, you know his heart. You know all about him. I pray sincerely you'll save him. And save Camilla as well. In the name of Jesus Christ to pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. I want this morning to talk about this love of God. And you can really see it when you read of Israel being restored. The Lord will never forget Israel. The Lord loves Israel. And even says if he can't forget his own hand, never will he forget Israel. God will save Israel. Remember that. And we are to pray for Israel because they're God's chosen people. And the Jews were blinded for a season so that us Gentiles could be saved. We're the wild olive branch that was grafted in. But they were the original branch. And they were blinded to the Messiah. They couldn't see him. They didn't know him. But they were blinded that us Gentiles could be saved. And God's going to save Israel. And the Mormons think they're the 144,000. But they're not. God is going to save the 144,000 of them Jews. And Moses and Elijah is going to appear to them. And they're going to seal them. And they're going to kill Moses and Elijah. And the bodies will lay in the streets of Jerusalem. And dead, and the Spirit of God will come in them and raise them up. Now, some people mightn't agree that it's Moses and Elijah. Well, I don't care about that. Well, that fall out over that. Some think it's Enoch. Look, that's not going to be important, but I believe it's Moses and Elijah. Do you know why? Because the power to close the heavens and power to do all these wonderful acts of God, that's Moses and Elijah. They fit the bill. That's why I believe it's them. Scripture must dovetail. But here, we're talking this morning about God's love, and God's love's eternal. God himself is eternal. God is no beginning. God is no ending. Before he was even known as God, he was a self-existing one. He dwelt alone with his thoughts. And in him then was love, because God is love. And you were in his mind, and I was in his mind. Ever before there's a molecule put to this earth or anything made, whatever, when you know God spoke it. But ever before it came about, God knew you and me. He knew you and me. Ever before he made an angel to worship him, he knew you and me. And God had love in him for you and in him for me. And it was more than an attribute, because God himself is love. There's attributes in God, but I believe this love is even more than an attribute, because God himself is love. As God himself had no beginning, his love is none. No beginning. And it's no ending. Never fear the devil, because the devil had somewhere where he began, because God made him, and he's going to have somewhere where he's going to end. But you, yes, you could say you had a beginning, but then one day you and me received eternal life. And because we received eternal life, we will have no end. Because that's the life of God in us. It's eternal. Aren't you glad you have eternal life this morning? Now I know it's hard for the human mind to grasp. Nevertheless, we cannot comprehend this tremendous love of God. But we can adore him. We can worship him. We can thank him. We can praise him that he loved us when we were unlovable. How blessed to know the great and holy God loved this people before heaven and earth was ever called into existence, that he had set his heart upon them from eternity. And there's clear proof of it in the Bible. God set his hand for you. God determined you were going to be saved, brother. God determined. Think of that this morning, sister. God determined you were going to be saved. Even before you're born of your mother, God already determined you'd come. And we worry so much about people, will they come? And we don't know who's going to come and who's not. We're not God. But I'll tell you, God knows. But God could trap your revelation to let you know. And you could know it. Even though they're far and away, you could know they're the Lord's. And if God drops you that in your spirit, you need to believe it and hold to it and claim them for the Lord. And believe they're going to come. And the very fact that you or me have a desire to see people coming, it is God that put that desire within us. We didn't have it of ourselves. God gives us it. May the Lord give us more of it. That's my prayer. I can't understand why people wouldn't have a desire to see others saved. I believe that's why we're here. That's why we want to have church. That's why we want to serve the Lord. We want to see our children saved. We want to see people rescued from the brink of hell, the whole way to heaven. Translated, as Brother Yule prays, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Ephesians 1, 4 to 5 says this, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. There you are. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his own will. It's the Lord that will. You might say, why is that boy a preacher? Well, you better ask God. Or why is that brother doing this or sister doing that? Well, you need to talk to the Lord about it. If God's called them to do it, that's God's business. Amen. And you know the Bible warns, touch not the Lord's anointed, do of servants no harm. Even a man could do things wrong and still be the Lord's servant. We can see that in Jacob. He was a real deceiver, but he was chosen of the Lord. This should cause every one of us to praise his holy name, since God's love toward me had no beginning, it can have no ending, since it is true from everlasting to everlasting, he is God, and since God is love, then it is equally true that from everlasting to everlasting, he loves his people from eternity, the whole way through, he loves us, and it never changes. You can't get the scales with God's love. And you know, overweight on one side because you had a good week or bad week. God don't work like that. The Lord knows your end from your beginning. You and me could think of and more in love with a husband and a wife now than I was, or I'm not in love as much. And you could twist and try and work about and up and down and all the rest of it. God don't work like that. His remains the same. And I'm going to tell you about it. It's so high you can't get over it. So low you can't get under it. So wide you can't get around it. God's love is vast. Amen. And it's massive. Amen. That's God's love. God's love is sovereign. It is sovereign. It is eternal and it is also its sovereign. It is also self-evident. God himself is sovereign. He's under obligation to no one. Are you hearing me? God is under obligation to none. Who did God sit with and take counsel? For before he made anything or made an angel, who did he take counsel with? He was a self-existing one. Now, he may have had counsel later on, but I'm talking about at the start. He doesn't need to take counsel with no one. He acts always according to his own imperial pleasure, since God is sovereign and since his love. It is necessary, follows that his love is sovereign because God is love. He does not, God, I'll do this to please somebody, I'll do that. God doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. He loves whom he pleases. You know, you could say, I don't know what he sees in her, what she sees in him. You ever heard that saying? Certainly you have. You could say, boy, I don't know what she sees in that fella, or I don't know what he sees in her, but there's something that obviously they do see that you don't. And you see, you could say, I don't know what God sees in that big fella or that wee fella, but God does see something. And God's chosen. And God's chosen for a reason. And that big fella can maybe do something the other boy can't. And the wee fella can maybe do something the other boy can't. That's God's choosing. But think of the stone wall. The stone walls, every stone's different, but every single one's needed. And the master builder, when he builds a stone wall, and I worked with the builder building stone, and he built a round tower, and I was amazed how well he built it. He could almost just lift a stone and fit it. And he said to me to have a go at it, to try to do it, and I thought I was doing all right, but not. He was a master at it. And he built a round, I'll tell you, he built the place over here in Scarborough, the same man, that new place where you go over the bridge, the stone down there. Go down and have a look at it, the stone. It's amazing. Isn't it amazing how a man can build a stone, a real good stonemason? Well, we're talking about the greatest builder of ever. Jesus Christ said that he's the corner headstone. And Paul said, this is a foundation. Build on this and build on none other. There's a whole lot the devil would try to build you on some other. But it's wood, hay, and stubble. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. That's a revelation of Christ, who he really is. And I tell you, God's sovereign. Romans 9 and 13 says this, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau I have hated. God loved Jacob. Now you could do a whole study, and your brother mentioned it well there a couple of weeks ago. You know, all the things Jacob done, he was a deceiver. But the Lord loved them. Think of that. Now think of that. And a brother John preached a great sermon over in Adelaide. Saul, before he was called Paul, was killing the Christians, holding the coat of those that stoned them. And yet God chose him. Why? That was God's business. Saul was a zealous man for what he'd done before he got converted. And he still was a zealous man for the Lord after he got converted. God seen something in him what nobody else would have seen. And you know, someone, Paul, after he was called Paul, he was first Saul, when he went to some places, the Christians were afraid of him. You know that? And then they had to give the testimony. And when they heard the testimony, they were all right. You see, you have to have a testimony. And you have a testimony. When you meet Jesus Christ, you get a testimony. You get saved. Hallelujah. Malachi 1 verse 3. And I hated Esau, and he led his mountains and his herd his waste for the dragon of the wilderness. I hated Esau. So the Lord is saying, I love Jacob, but I hated Esau. That's hard to understand, isn't it? But that's God. And you know, Paul says, the gospel does two things. It separates to life and it separates to death. And I have to say this. You know, you get a great feeling when you see people saved as a preacher. But really, the truth be told, it's nothing to do with a preacher. Nothing. Why do you understand that? It was God to choose them people to be saved. He might have used that man. But it's a bad thing when you follow a man or worship him. For it's the Lord that done it. God had already ordained that they would get saved, and he used that tool to bring about his plan. But to think, oh, if we get a certain man, this and that will happen. You need to get the Lord and it'll happen. The Lord's choosing. There's no more reason in Jacob why he should be the object of divine love than there was in Esau. They both had the same parents and were born at the same time, being twins, yet God loved one and hated the other. Why? Because it pleased him to do so. That's why. Why did it please God to do so? See, I'm preaching 30 years and I'm still learning and still trying to understand things, and I don't understand them. You know, God could raise a man up as Dan and another man he won't raise up. But you don't know why, because the secret things belong to the Lord. God's a reason for it. God is a reason for doing that. Because it could maybe bring about some other plan of God that we can't see. And people could get saved. And that's the most important thing. It's getting saved. The sovereignty of God's love necessarily follows from the fact that it's uninfluenced by anything in the human creature. We can do nothing to influence God's love. Nothing. We think we can. We actually think we can. Now I know when we're saved, we do serve the Lord and we can please God. I believe that. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. But I'm talking about people out there, they're not pleasing God. They're away from God. They're in sin, and yet the Lord will choose one of them and save them. Now they haven't done anything to influence God and God's love. And even us that are saved, we let the Lord down many times. And then we think, the devil tells us, now you've let the Lord down. And, you know, you've got to get a good hiding or whatever. The devil brainwashes us all, doesn't it? But the Lord loves you the same. He loves you the same. Even when you fail him, he loves you the same. Now, I know Brother John will agree with me, and I'm using Brother John as an example because of the tremendous experience he had. Now, John will tell you the same as me. When I had the experience in the jail, now, Brother John was serving the Lord. I wasn't. The Lord came to me. I didn't do nothing to get him to do it. I was away from him. I was living in sin. And yet the Lord chose to visit me. My brother John went into his field and he's worried about the harvester and all the problems he had. But the Lord visited him. But he wasn't doing a specific thing to say, God, you'll visit me today. It was a sovereign will of God and plan of God. And God can visit you when you least expect it or you least think it. God can do it. That's the way the rapture will happen. One day you'll see something and it'll draw your attention. That's it. Started. And I tell you, I think maybe God's not answering your prayers and he heard them the very first time you prayed. And when you least expect it, God can move. And God can do something. Something mighty. Hallelujah. We need to keep praying and seeking the Lord. Think just for a moment, assume the opposite. Suppose God's love was regulated by anything else than his will. Suppose it was. In such a case, he would love by a rule. If that was the case, and loving by rule, he would be under a law of love. But he's not. And then, so far from being free, God would himself be ruled by a law of love, but he's not ruled by a law of love. He loves because he wants to. Because he is love. Ephesians 1 verse 4 to 5, according as chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. And then it says, according to the pleasure of his will. It was God's will that he chose you. God's will. Here's another thing about his will that is infinite. This love of God is infinite. It's infinite. Everything about God is infinite. His essence fills heaven and earth. His wisdom is without limits or end. For he knows anything of the past, present and future. God knows it all. The Lord could come in here today and tell you the next 10 years every single thing was going to happen if he wanted to do it. How do you think he gave people visions? How do you think a man like William Branham could stand in the pulpit and say to a woman, sister, I see you when you're a young girl. I see you when you had a car accident. It takes him back 30 years. William Branham couldn't do that, but God done it for him. And God let him see it, a vision, because he was a prophet. And here's the thing about it that we need to understand. The Lord's never changed. He's Hebrews 13 and 8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible tells us in Joel and in the book of Acts, it shall come to pass in the last day, God will pour out his spirit in all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And upon my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out of my spirit. When? In the last days. As far as I know, we're in them. So God can do it now. He can show you the future if he wants to. The Lord can give you a vision or a dream. Or God can anoint someone. It's his sovereign will. It's him that chooses to do it. And I believe if we get closer to the Lord, that God can move on us in the gifts of Spirit. Because Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts. God can really do it. God's power is unbounded. For there's nothing too hard for him. So his love is without limit. There's no depth to it. You know, no, we can't fathom. The love of God is so great. There's a height to which none of us can scale. There's a length and a breadth that defies measurement. By any creature, by any standard, we can't measure with measurement of man's measurements. God's love's beyond that. Too vast. Too great. Beautifully laid in Scripture in Ephesians 2 verse 4. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. This word great here is parceled with a favorite scripture to so many. John 3:16. And John 3:16 has to be one of the best scriptures in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world. Now, some people, they don't want to love anybody. They want to get the tape on them. And they'll measure them up and they're finished. But they didn't match up with our regroup. The dress wasn't low enough. The hair wasn't long enough. The sleeves to the thing was too short. Or he hadn't a suit and tie on. And I'm wearing a suit and tie. But if you're not, don't worry one thing about it. The Lord will take you any road. But we get religious. But we don't need religion. We need Christ's holiness. There's a difference in religion and holiness. There's a difference in religion and sanctification. There's a difference in lining people up like great soldiers and making them do it than what that person will yield themselves to the Lord to do it. There's a difference. A person under their own steam yields to the Spirit of God, under the Spirit of God moving on them, and they want to grow their hair and want to wear a dress, and the man wants to do this right and the woman wants to do that right. That's the Spirit of God. Now you've got something. But the other way, all you have is a bunch of rules. And them bunch of rules one day will fail. But the man that God really gets a hold of, something's happened. Like a prophet when he preached in one of them parts of Africa. And the women were all naked. And he preached to them. And once the Holy Spirit moved, they closed them, covered them, their bodies. See, there's two spirits in the world today. There's the Holy Spirit and there's an unholy spirit. May the Lord give us the Holy Spirit. And it will work on us and it will affect us. It tells us the love of God is transcendent. It cannot be estimated. Ephesians 3 verse 18, 19. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. How can we tell the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of it? Look at the many stories we have in this wee land here of Ulster. Think of it for a moment, the many stories we have of men that were real hardened criminals. Yet the Lord delivered them. Many of them became great preachers. And they gave their all out for the Lord. Look at wee Sidney Murray. I know I often refer to him, but think of it for a moment. The wee man was a jailbird. He was in jail, a drunkard. Done all sorts of badness. Yet the Lord chose that wee man. And then think of an Orwee fella, only no age at all, and he lost his all his family, James McConnell. And he claims him. And God done it. Now there's no way that they done that themselves. That was the plan of God. And Big Paisley, that people can say bad about him, and I don't agree with all what happened, but I'm going to tell you one thing. He's seen a lot of people saved. Now, if you were to try to match that today, I tell you, there's a lot of people saved. And I know the whole movement today is a denomination like all the rest of them. But that doesn't do away with the fact God used that man. God definitely used him. If anybody thought God didn't use him, well, then I don't know what to think of that. God used him. I don't agree with a lot of things he'd done myself, but I believe God used him. And I believe when he stuck to preaching the gospel, he was one of the greatest gospel preachers ever. I believe that with all my heart. That man could preach the gospel. But the devil doesn't want the gospel preached. Do you realize, you see, The devil doesn't want the gospel preached. He'll run you off here and there. Let me read you this statement from a man called John Bryan. Now, somebody asked me about this man. Well, you'd have to go back to 1743 if you want to read anything about him. 1743. The most extensive ideas that finite mind can think about divine love are infinitely below its true nature. The heaven is not so far above earth as the goodness of God is beyond the most raised conceptions which are able to form of it. It is a notion which swells higher than all the mountains of expression, and such as are the objects of it. It is a fountain from which flows of necessary good to all those who are interested in it. God's love can't be explained. God's love is vast. It's vast. Thank God for that vast love this morning. I'm going to come and look. The time's going already. The time's going, and I want to do communion. And we'll continue the night. And come again tonight, and we'll continue on the love of God tonight. God loves you. Young man, the Lord loves you. Young woman, the Lord loves you. Older man, the Lord loves you. Older woman, the Lord really loves you. Oh, but Brother Tom, I have failed the Lord so many times. Many of us have. But the Lord still loves us. Still loves us. No matter if you've failed him, he loves you. No matter if you've let him down, he loves you. You have to get this as a revelation that God's love's unchanged. Think of that. It's unchanged. Let us come and read 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11. And you think of that. As you take this communion, I want you to pray, if you feel led to pray, and give the Lord thanks. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. Thank the Lord, he loved you. If all you can pray is, Lord, I want to thank you for loving me. And maybe you're here, and maybe you're saying, Brother Tom, look, I'm not for a should be. Well, this is your chance this morning to get back to where you want to be with the Lord. Tell him you love him. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So as we do this, we're showing the Lord's death. We're remembering the Lord. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. If you have something this morning and you don't think it's right, put it right. Pray as we come round this table. Put it right with the Lord. The blood of Jesus lays there for you. Put it right with the Lord. Let us bow our heads. We're going to pray for these ambulances. Heavenly Father, we just thank you most of all for your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you for Calvary. We bless this bread this morning as it's broken. And as we partake, we remember your body which was bruised and broken for us. Lord, as we take this wine, we remember your precious blood shed for the remission of our sins. Father, will you forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify every one of us. Cleanse every one of us. Remit every sin, every stain. Wash us in the blood of Jesus Christ. As we partake of these ambulance, bless the ambulance, bless the hands that prepared them. Sanctify them to us. as we remember you, Lord Jesus, and all you've done for us. I pray for those in this room that need a touch of healing in their body. Lord, I'm asking you'll heal that sister, heal that brother, heal that boy, that girl, as they partake of these amulets. May they be healed. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the brothers to come, the deacons. We're going to do communion. And while we're doing it, if so anyone wants to pray, I want you to feel free and just pray. Praise God. Thank you.